Dr. Amalia Gonyas-Malka. Welcome to Womanity, Woman in Unity, the show that celebrates prominent and ordinary African women's milestone achievements in their struggles for liberation, self-emancipation, human rights, democracy, racism, socioeconomic class division, and gender-based violence. Joining us today is award-winning South African actress Lillian Dube, whose career has spanned more than 30 years, during which time she has played characters across the small screen, big screen, and in theatrical productions. Some of her accolades include Best Actress and Lifetime Achiever from the Theatre Guild. Her television appearances include Generations, Soul City, Muvango, and Mponeng. Her cinematic roles include Cry the Beloved Country, Sweet and Short, Shucks I'm Khatful, There's a Zulu on My Stoop, The Ring and African Skies, and more recently she ventured into production producing her own television comedy drama called Squeezers. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
It's wonderful that you're joining us today, especially as we're celebrating Women's Month. Now, today, you have become a role model. You have provided evidence to many women and girls in South Africa and into the continent that with hard work and personal sacrifice, everything can be achieved. Can you please share with us some of the landmarks in your career and when you understood that acting would be a big part of your destiny?
It's amazing you should ask that question, because since my school days, which were not long, because I didn't know why people went to school in the first place. Because during our days, all you got was corporal punishment. The funny thing is, I used to be so attentive when we used to do literature. And when we were, be it the Bible, I would always say, you play Mary, you play Jesus, and I play this. That was something I was born with. I loved acting. But then I didn't know that it could be a career. So it was such a blessing when eventually in South Africa we had television in the 80s, because we never always used to have it. Other countries did have television, not South Africa.
But it makes me think back, the 80s wasn't all that long ago. You think that that was when we first got our first television into the country.
So even now, for me, I hear most actors say we compare with America. No, we've got a long way to go. Those people, I watch them act and do things, I say, we have so much to do.
And during your career, can you take us to some of those moments when all the hard work that you put into building your career finally paid off?
I must say, I was introduced to acting by my son. My son, I forget the year, but it was in the 80s. Funny, I remember the date. Made me come to auditions. It was the 31st of May. And because I wanted to please him, he was 12 then, because I was working as a sales lady. And I said, why do you want me to act? He says, because for me, when I go to the movies, the people I see in the movies behave just like you. So... So I came to the auditions and I made it.
So it was a bit by accident that you fell into the acting career.
Yes, because I was worried about him. That is why I was working, because I'm a divorcee. And I didn't realize. But then television was new to all of us. But the amazing thing is, because we used to fight, he used to change channels. I liked then to play LM Radio, which was Lorenzo Marx. Each time I get home, it's on Sesotho. And when I shouted at him, he said, no, Mama, you are losing out. Here in Radio Sesotho, they want people who can act. And I think you are one of them. So they say you must fetch the scripts on this day. So I did that to please my son. And I was happy that something that I love with all my heart can be a career.
So you can be very thankful to
your
son.
I really am. So I started with cameo roles. But like the big one, like Deboho will tell you, was Mopeme. That was an epic. It was beautiful. That was my biggest break.
And Ma'am Lillian, you've been in the industry for a very long time. Can you please share with us some of the gender challenges that you've experienced and have overcome during your career?
Fortunately, please, other people must forgive me, because I know everybody says at their workplace, men are paid more and all that. Fortunately for us in showbiz, because we're in a script, there are fathers, there are mothers, there are girls. So I'm talking in front of the camera. I don't know behind the camera. People are paid according to their roles.
So as
and
an
their experience.
As an ensemble cast,
yes,
everyone
so
has a difference.
Yes, so there was never the thing of men be paying better. But I will still say, most camera people are men. The crew is mostly men. It's now that things are changing. We have camera ladies, and we have women directors. So things are changing.
And in your career, you have not only been in front of the camera, but you've also been behind the camera.
Not behind.
But on the production,
producing
side.
Yeah. So I own a Lillian Dube production company. And ask me why. Because long time ago, I used to watch The Golden Girls. And I was mesmerized. And I said to myself, I was in my 40s. One day when I'm 60, I want to do something like The Golden Girls. That is why I started Squeezers. It was for older women. Unfortunately, what I didn't foresee was that older women will not remember their lines. So the first Squeezer, I was a mission. Now I've introduced younger ones. Because with the older ones like me, every 5 minutes they go to the loo. Also they forget. For instance, Mary Twala, who I adore, doesn't remember her lines. In the first Squeezers, she didn't finish. But because I love her so much, she's lovable, she's a good actress, I made a plan to give her less lines for her to be there because she adds value.
So it's working around your cast and
yes,
maintaining everything that's very relevant.
Yes. And also I found that young ones, they really appreciate seeing older people on television because every child is a mother or a gogo, a granny. So it is beautiful to see older people on TV.
But also when you think about it, our life stages, we're living much longer lives.
Yes.
People are remaining more relevant and
yes,
we want to have programming that connects with all the audiences.
Exactly.
Not just with one demographic.
Yes, yes. So I love it that way. Yes.
And one of your most iconic roles has been that of Sister Bettina Khumalo in Soul City.
In Soul City, yes. That was the longest role. Remember, I chose Soul City over Generations. I enjoyed Generations. And I must say, the first real money I made was being in Generation Soapy, where we were paid, then when it started, we were paid weekly and handsomely. And it was such a blessing. But because I always tell whoever wants to listen that of all the ills of apartheid, the worst ill was depriving us of education. And we are in this mess because of no education. So I told the producers that I must do Soul City. I'd love to educate. They said anybody can do it. I said no, I chose Soul City over Generations. And for me, without knowing it, that saved my life. Because they were dealing with social ills and health matters. It's in Soul City that I knew I had to do my mammograms and do self-breast examination. So you can't educate and not be educated yourself. So thank God I chose Soul City. That is why I'm sitting with you. I found my own lump, went to the hospital. It was confirmed. And I knew it wasn't the end of the world. Cancer, if detected and treated early, can be cured.
Lillian, once you went through the cancer treatment, I read that you'd had surgery to remove the lump in 2008. And following on from that, you've become an advocate for creating awareness about
yes,
cancer and different types of cancers that affect women.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, one of them, apart from breast cancer, is also cervical cancer. And that kills about 3,000 women a year
exactly,
in South Africa.
Exactly. And I was so scared when I heard that the causes, not the only cause, but some of the causes is having sex at a very early stage. Remember, in the rural areas, once you've had your periods, you are ready to be married. Engaging in sex at a very early age does contribute to cancer. Hence, there's so much cervical cancer in black communities.
Mm. And going back to that whole point that you were talking about is education.
Education, education, education.
Can you tell us a bit more about some of the campaigns that you've been running on the awareness side for cancer for women?
We started with a journey of hope. In fact, I started creating awareness even before I went for surgery. So the journey of hope, I was doing my chemotherapy at Donald Gordon, and I met this lady, she was from America, and then she told me about what they do for awareness. They ride on motorbikes from Johannesburg to Cape Town or to wherever. And that appealed to me. I joined her. So 2 years later, the third journey, we formed Can Survive. Can Survive deals with all kinds of cancers. For instance, you've mentioned cervical cancer, colon cancer, testicular cancer, so many shy cancers. Because can you imagine anybody saying,
testicular cancer.
Yes, I saw. It's not easy. You can't just approach your parents. Because on this journey, we were with a young man who had one testicle. And how he discovered, it was sore, but he was being raised by his grandmother. Thank God, he went to the clinic on his own. They discovered he had testicular cancer. They gave him a note to say he must go to hospital. And he is grateful in that if he had told his grandmother, she could have maybe taken him to a rinyanga or say he was playing with his balls. So we create awareness. We teach people that if your balls are sore, that's a sign that there's something wrong. And colon cancer, which is very tricky, prostate. So now we are doing Can Survive. On the 10th of September this year, we are going north. We leave on the 10th, we come back on the 20th. We stop at every little village and town to create awareness. We demonstrate, we educate, and refer. At some places, we find that people already have cancer, they are not aware. Then we refer them.
And where's your journey going to run from? So the route starts at?
Start in Joburg.
Yes.
We're going north, north being Polokwane.
Okay.
Yes.
And, Mlilian, are you riding a motorbike?
I would love to. I'm not allowed to. I'm an ambassador for Clientele Life, as you know. So I'm the ambassador, and I am allowed to be pillioned, but they don't want me to do mountain climbing, which I would have done anyway. Because I love a motorbike. But I have the chance right at the back, and the air up there is something else. It's just you and your God.
Well, thank you for informing us of the events that are coming through. We'll take a short break.
Hi, this is Lyra, South African Afro-soul singer and songwriter. You're listening to Womanity, Women in Unity, presented by Dr. Amelia Malka on Channel Africa, the voice of the African Renaissance, a program that celebrates prominent and ordinary African women's milestone achievements in their struggle for liberation, self-emancipation, human rights, and democracy.
You're listening to Womanity, Woman in Unity on Channel Africa, the voice of the African Renaissance on frequency 9625 kilohertz on the 31-meter band, also available on DSTV channel 902. Today we're talking to award-winning legendary South African actress Lillian Dube. In the first segment of the show, Mam Lillian talked to us about her role coming into the acting arena, almost by happen chance, with her son auditioning her off and prompting her to join her first show, Mopening. She also spoke about her journey into the acting career, her foray into the different modes, particularly within television. And we spoke about her role in Soul City as Sister Bettina Kamalo and how that influenced and affected when she discovered cancer herself with breast cancer. And she's just highlighted some of the campaigns that she's been undergoing. And Mam Lillian, if you could talk to us a little bit more. I know that there are some other cancer activations that you're working on.
So it is Can Survive that is going to be going on this ride, the awareness ride on bikes, from the 10th of September to the 20th of September.
Perfect.
Yes. Also, on the 26th of October every year, on a Sunday, when it falls on a Sunday, of course, it's not exactly 26 every year, we go to Max Park for a walk.
And that's Johannesburg, Max.
That's in Johannesburg. And there are lots of people that come to support these men, women, children, dogs. It's just too beautiful. It's very beautiful, and people walk. You choose how many kilometers you want to do. They've got 5 kilometers, 8 kilometers. And it's a wonderful day, and we celebrate life.
And that's with Itemba Avon.
Avon Itemba Justine. Also, I belong to SADC, which is South African Anxiety and Depression Group. They have what we call, in what is a Temba, speaking books. Because, you know, when you write things and give to people, some people just throw them away. But we've got beautiful books which you can make as presents, where we teach about all these diseases, depression, HIV, whatever disease. But these books, you press, and then I do the voiceovers for that, those.
You've been involved in a tremendous amount of community projects.
I love people. It's because of people that I'm here today. Because when I was young, my mother was very sickly. And I, at a very early age, I was in the habit of greeting every elderly person I meet. That was in rural Lesotho. Because they would give me peaches or porridge or something. So I learned to greet. Up to today, I greet all people, whether they are white, black. It's in me, and I love people. I joined SADC because I also suffered from depression. So I know that disease, I don't wish it on my worst enemy, because it takes away hope. And without hope, there's no life. That's why people kill themselves. So that is why I'm doing charity for SADC by doing voiceovers for them. And then on Mandela Day, what I do is go to their offices where I listen to people who have a depression and I encourage them. And then also I'm an ambassador for CHOC, Children's Cancer. I go there, I don't know how to bake, but I'm telling you, I enjoyed baking with those children. And I was thinking, I had cancer when I was 63. To see a child with cancer, it's heartbreaking. But they are little souls. They are so happy. For Christmas, I remember going to entertain them. We danced, and I just knew that every life is important. And it doesn't matter how long.
And it's giving that the experience and having the joy.
Yes. And also, we don't know how long we are all going. We might not have a disease, but we all die. So the best thing we can do is to enjoy every day and give love. Mm. Yes.
So living life to the full.
Yes.
But you've also established a foundation called Celebrities for Good Causes, which is an advocacy group that champions causes that have an impact on the development of our children. And
thank
I know
you.
Children are very important to you.
They're very important because they're the future. They are the future. That's why I feel sorry for people who ill-treat children. Because I'm already 70. In September, I'll be 70.
Unbelievable.
Yes, but can you imagine if I've been ill-treating the children, who I'm going to be depending on them? It is so painful for someone who you mistreated to do things for you. So it is better to nurture them now.
Can you tell us a little bit more about the campaign, what the project, what you want to do with it?
This, my darling, I'm turning 70 on the 30th of September. I'm a Libra. And I'm sure you know that Libra love life and people. And like the song goes, people who love people are the happiest in the world. I am a happy person in spite of all the nonsense in my life. But I'm a really happy person. Every day is just a beautiful day. Plus, with cancer, after cancer, you don't sweat the small stuff. Every day is like a bonus. So I'm turning a 70. So I want 70,000 school shoes. And I know there are celebrities out there who do their bit in their little corner. They don't have the time. So I want us to form one umbrella where those celebrities who want to join me will be able to pay back to the society because of the fact that we are in people's faces. What are we celebrated for? I'm giving celebrities a reason to do good. Because they do good, but most of the time we see them for the wrong reasons in papers. So this school shoes project is my first from Lilian Dube Foundation, hoping that the following year it will be somebody, because it's not about me, it's about whoever wants to do good deeds.
So you're looking at this as being the seed to start the venture and then almost to hand it over as a legacy effect.
Yes.
To perpetuate.
Yes, and so that even when I'm gone, that goes on, because really, it's amazing how we always think we did it on your own. Nobody does it on their own. That little gogo who gives you a fat cake on your way to school has contributed in some way.
Yeah, there are enablers to
yes.
our lives.
Today, as
all
I was coming here, I was saying to my partner, we met a beggar, and I said, "I'm sorry, my son." And he said, "Why are you saying you're sorry?" I said, "I am sorry. I don't have money with me. So I've got to tell him I'm sorry, because if I had, I would give him." And I said, "Even if you don't give him, even if you have, you don't want to, please acknowledge him. Make him aware that you see him, greet him, because it must be the worst thing not to be noticed."
The dignity factor.
Exactly. That is why when they are now criminals and they come into your house to break in, when you say, "My child, don't kill me," he's hearing you for the first time saying, "My child," and that doesn't touch him. So I said to him, I said, "My child, I don't have money today," because that word alone, "my child," it reminds him that he's important. He's someone else's child.
Lillian, can you tell us why shoes?
Because when I was little, my sweetie, fortunately I wasn't the only one, I didn't have panties, but most children did have. It wasn't because we were poor. My grandmother was from hell on my paternal side. She used to take the things that my parents bought me, because I was in Lesotho, they were in Johannesburg. She would give them to their grandchildren from their...
Really?
From my girl children. Yes, people in the olden days were very cruel, especially to their makotis. Makotis are daughter-in-laws. So I used to do without panties. Thank God I've always been this bright child who loves life. I was very clever. I would take some rubber bands. Not rubber bands, I didn't have rubber bands then. But I'd take from old panties this elastic band, rub it fasten it around my thighs. And you know, we used to tag our dresses into our panties, because I didn't have. I tucked into those. They never realized I didn't have until I fell, of course.
So you've been very ingenious with making a plan.
Yes. And then going barefoot was a way of life. And we had, I don't know what you call it in English. In Afrikaans, they say it's bagabiki. The thorns that grow in ameva. Thorns.
It's like the devil thorns.
The devil thorns. That would slow you. That was our only challenge. But today there are so many things. It's bottles, it's pollution. And I read some research, some professor talking about the illnesses that are caused by the soil itself. He mentioned a whole lot of other diseases. So it's not only about looking smart. It's about protecting you against diseases. And then, really, and you know, our tarred roads are very hot. At least we were walking on ground, a real ground. Yeah, there are so many things.
And the weather is a different factor.
And the weather,
too,
and winter. With global warming, things are worse. So really, also, it's about dignity. Because today, it's not all children don't have shoes. So you are noticed when you don't. With us, we all didn't have shoes. So it was cool. But I don't wish that. All the bad things that happened to me when I was young, I don't want them to happen to little children.
I think it's a tremendous project.
Because we are not even allowed to cry. People would ill-treat you, but you mustn't cry. So I used to sit towards them when they made fire. I would sit where the wind is blowing the smoke so that they should think it's the smoke, like crying in the rain. It's because you are not even allowed to cry.
Lillian, that's very tragic, especially
tragic,
for a little
but
person.
Tragic, but hey, here I am. And I'm not bitter, because they also didn't know any better. I'm sure they themselves, I mean the old people of those times, they must have gone through hell. That's why they were passing it on.
You're so right. It's a socialization.
Yeah, so I don't even... and the worst part is I loved my grandmother. Even now, I still love her. If she died, of course. But I am so like her in many ways.
Education is clearly a very, very important factor in your life.
It is my sweetness. I'm telling you, the people who created apartheid, when they didn't want a black child to go to school, just go to school to be a garden boy or a domestic, they've really killed all of us, because today we are reaping the whirlwind, all of us now, black and white together. The reason there are so many diseases, lack of education. I am telling you, education. The reason our government is like this, where did the black men learn how to run a country? You could never do political science during our days. So today we are running the country. Now we're rehearsing in front of you, and rehearsals are painful. But if you had been educated, we would know how to do things. So patiently and with honesty and everything, we'll make this country work.
We will.
And we will. I'm positive. Because right now it's a rehearsal.
It's a work in progress.
Thank you.
And something that is ongoing.
Yes.
And the world is changing
yes.
continuously, and we
yes.
have to
yes.
utilize those
yes.
factors.
I'm looking at it. It's Women's Month, and I don't know whether you share my sentiments. I'm saying women, in my experience, my grandparents, they used to wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning to cook food for the shepherds in the field and the men who were plowing the fields. So for me, it's not about competing with men. So I don't want women doing things to prove a point. I want them to do things that appeal to them, that they are best at doing. Not because I can also do it. Men do it, I can also do it. We need women to still raise children. And those who want careers, to have their careers. Nobody must say you are not supposed to do this. But for me, there's nothing as beautiful as coming home to mommy when you come from school. Because a lot of children are what they are today. They come home. There's no mommy. Mommy's looking after other people's children. And then they're left to their own devices and they can do whatever. So those women who want to keep their homes and all that, they must enjoy it because it's dignified. And men must just do their job of being providers. And women who want careers should be able to do that. But they must have some balance.
It's the ability of having the choice, the opportunity
yes.
to have that
because
choice.
Because there's never a time where women were never working. My grandmother used to be able to know how to build a house because it was mud houses and they used to roof them with grass. There's never a time where women were just sitting and not doing things. The only difference, they were never paid.
That is a big difference.
That's the big difference. Today, women can be. And today, I always tell children, if you don't want to get married, you don't have to. In our time, you had to go get married. You are 25, you're not married. They call you a spinster. Lefedwa. Zenda Zamshia. As a result, you'll get married to the first boy who says he wants to marry you, even though you're not sure if you want to marry him. Because there was a stigma attached to being single.
So it was all about fulfilling cultural
yeah.
expectations.
And also, like I said, children used to get married at age 14, 15, 16. Today's children go to school, they go to universities. So I am glad they do that. So that even in their relationships, they must be in those relationships because they want to. As opposed to staying with a man who you know is a no good because they provide. For instance, I have been teaching a lot about HIV. I remember one day telling some women, they said, Mama, you say we must insist on our partners using condoms. And this woman says to me, I've got 6 children. They don't belong to this man. How do I tell a provider that I need a condom? Says, if I leave this man, I'm dead. And if I don't leave him, I'm dead. Because he's definitely going to infect me with HIV. But what is worse? You see? So women have got to be empowered so they can make choices.
And Ma'am Lillian, given your experience, your years in the industry as a woman, what do you think that we need moving towards the future for women the most?
Okay. Those that are not educated. And besides, not everybody can be an academic. We've got to do skills training. Women must do, I mean, there are women who know how to bake. We must open avenues for them to be able to have their own confectionaries. They must be able to sew as a group and give them power.
Economic empowerment.
Yes. They shouldn't depend on their men, because not all men are providers. Women shouldn't just be in bad marriages and making excuses. No, he's beating me because he was upset, because this. We're always making excuses. Also, as women, we need to support one another, because most times women are their own worst enemies. A man will leave his wife for another woman. But if a woman said, I am sorry, I know you are married, that's my sister, you cannot do this to my sister. Instead, we welcome them with open arms and open thighs, and then what? They do the same thing. So they don't learn that what they are doing is bad. Not all men, of course. I'm saying those that do that. We as women should stand together and say, no.
Well, I think you've introduced a very important point.
No.
And
we are our own worst enemies. In workplaces, if a woman gets a promotion, we are the first ones to say, oh, I'm sure he slept with so-and-so. And we sabotage that woman. We don't give her our full support.
I think it's also about having the awareness of what those behaviors are and how we can change those behaviors.
Also, it's both ways. Some women, when they're in high places, now they close. Because they did that it by themselves, so they think nobody must come in.
And almost it goes back to what you were saying before. It's that rite of passage. If I had these experiences done to me, I'm inflicting those experiences onto somebody else instead of bringing them up the ladder with me.
Yes. Must lift as you rise. I believe in that. Because fortunately, you know, it's a pity theater doesn't pay the bills. But that's my favorite. There's something I learned in theater. We could be fighting just 20 minutes before the show. But the show starts, you remind the other of the props and their lines, and you work together because you are working for a common goal.
Yeah, the common goal.
We put aside our differences because we want a show to be a success. So we should apply that. We want our country to be a success. We are the government. We, the people, are the government. What are we doing?
Wise words. We'll take a short break.
Hi, I'm Zonke Dikana, a South African Afro-soul musician, songwriter, and producer. You are listening to Womanity, Women in Unity on Channel Africa, the voice of the African Renaissance.
You're listening to Womanity, Women in Unity on Channel Africa, the voice of the African Renaissance on frequency 9625 kHz on the 31-meter band, also available on DSTV Channel 902. Today we're talking to award-winning, legendary South African actress Lillian Dube. We would love to receive your comments on Twitter at Womanity Talk. In our previous segment, we spoke a lot about the effects of education. We also spoke about the Lillian Dube National School Shoes Project, where she aims to raise 70,000 pairs of school shoes for children annually. And coincidentally, this coincides with her 70th birthday celebration in September. Clearly, Mam Lillian, there are no signs of you slowing down.
No.
And when we spoke a few weeks ago, you were busy filming. And I know that you've taken a break in your schedule to join us today.
Yes.
Some of the movie projects underway include The Chemo Club, a comedy movie, The Girl and the Lion, a documentary.
Yes.
Gog, Helen II, starting in 2016.
I'm so excited.
Can you tell us a bit about some of these projects?
It all started with a mattress. Gog Helen had a daughter. This daughter died of HIV and AIDS in KwaZulu-Natal, and she also had a daughter. So Gog Helen wants her granddaughter to be educated so that she doesn't become a prostitute like her mom. This I can tell you about because it's played already. Unfortunately, that granddaughter was being a prostitute to support herself and her granny. Meanwhile, the granny had managed to save about 36,000 rand and put it under her mattress, because her daughter now had died, but now she was wanting to make sure that the granddaughter goes to school. So the mattress is old, And this granddaughter who's lying to the grandmother that she's going to school, meantime she's making money by being a prostitute, comes to visit her granny in the shack. She doesn't find the granny, but she's surprising the granny. She's bought her a brand new mattress. She takes the old one. The money is not under the mattress, it's inside.
Oh dear.
Because it's a sponge, so it's hidden there. She takes it, she goes and throws it. And that's the day Pick It Up is collecting. The granny comes, finds her granddaughter there. She's excited. She's made the bed nicely. The granny said, "Where is the mattress?" Then that's where it all started. I love comedy. And now, the one I'm doing now, it's called The Chemo Club. The director and the writer is Tandy Brewer, whose mother had three cancers. That mother of hers, Fiona Fraser, at 14, she had left school. At 74, she passed her master's. She taught herself. So she used to be my language coach when I was doing Cry the Beloved Country and most movies. So the daughter, her name is Tandy, named after Tandy Tlerson, even though they are white, is also in showbiz, a writer, a director, and a wonderful human being, also had cancer. But this movie, she's written in honor of her mother. And I'm happy to be part of it, being a breast cancer survivor myself. It's hilarious. It's beautiful.
Can you tell us when you expect it to be released?
I wish they can release it this year. I doubt, you know, there's a lot of work that goes in editing. So I really don't know. It might be late this year or early next year. Okay. But you will know, of course.
I'm sure we will, and we'd welcome you back to give us more information.
I will like to come back and tell you all about it. So, also, I'm still with Mubango, which I love very much. And what I love about Mubango is that I'm a guest. So, when I've got such projects, I'm in Lesotho, according to the storyline. So, it suits me fine. Because, for me, I'll work until I die. If I can still breathe and work, I don't see how else.
You have an incredible work ethic.
I have a very good life.
But you've worked hard to get this life.
Yes, I have.
And one of the questions that I ask all my guests who have made a success out of their career is some of the factors that have contributed to their success. Some of them talk about perseverance, hard work, the role of their mothers. What would you say have been your key drivers to success?
Thank God to my late mother. My late mother used to say to me, "It doesn't matter what you do. Whatever you do, do well. Even if it's a job you don't love. But if it puts bread on the table, love it. Because you will be rewarded. Someone will notice you from that little job you did. And give. Can you believe I used to be a domestic in Linden? I've been a tea girl. I've been a nurse. Not a qualified nurse. You know, each time I go to work at 5:30, I feel sorry for people who are still sleeping, who will still be sleeping at 9 and wondering why things don't change. What can change things if you don't wake up? Wake up, wash up, and show up. That's my last word.
Wonderful phrase.
Yes. And I stole it somewhere, of course.
Borrowed.
Yes, I borrowed. And, I did this wonderful voiceover about Maya Angelou. And the words that stick in me is that she's learned that she still has so much to learn. We never stop learning.
So true. And on that note, for the last word in the show, can you please share a few words of inspiration that you'd like to pass on to all our girls and young women listening to the show on the continent?
I want to say to them, they must love themselves. Without sounding like a preacher, but I live by those words. In the scripture somewhere, it says, love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And the second law, it's like it. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Those are the principles I live by, and I find they work for me.
Well, thank you for sharing your philosophy and spreading it to the rest of the continent.
Thank you.
It's been wonderful
and
having you here.
Thank you for having invited me. I've enjoyed myself.
We've enjoyed the discussion, too.
Thank you. I hope this is not the last time.
Likewise.
Yes, thank you.
You have been listening to Womanity, Woman in Unity on Channel Africa, the voice of the African Renaissance on frequency 9625 kilohertz on the 31-meter band. and we have been talking to award-winning, legendary South African actress Lillian Dube.